And you can all see me okay. But this morning I want to start a series of studies on these Sunday mornings over this next wee while in Psalm 91. And I've entitled this psalm, A Psalm for Perilous Times. A Psalm for Perilous Times. I want to speak this morning for just the time that's left on the subject of the secret place. The secret place. But anyway, let's read Psalm 91. So I hope you've got your Bible. Get it open and read from Psalm 91. And let's read it together. And it'd be good even as a family, and those who are gathered around the computer or the phone or the laptop or whatever, you read it together. You read it with me. So as I read, you read as well. Read it out loud. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. That's just a wee word of prayer again. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to look at thy word just now, we pray, O God, that for all who are listening and watching, Lord, that you'll speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, while we may be separated the one from the other, my Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll just help us to hear the word of God. Just be with us, we pray. Lead us, guide us, instruct us. Speak to every heart. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Do as you sit in your home this morning and as you watch this live broadcast, I'm sure there are many thoughts that are going through your mind. Many worries, many anxieties, many fears about the future, about your family, maybe about your job, about your business, about yourself. These are certainly perilous times that none of us ever lived through. Days that we thought would never come. Yesterday, we put up a poster at the front of our church, and on the notice board that normally displays all the services of our congregation, and we replaced that with another poster that simply said this: all services cancelled. And it directed those who passed by to the internet links where they could join with us today and on Thursdays as well, just as you are. These are very strange and difficult times. But as I speak to you this morning, to you as my congregation, a congregation that I love, I hold deeply in my heart, to you who would normally be sitting in front of me, worshipping with me, and to all others who are joining with us today in this live broadcast, we're so glad to have you. And thank you for being a part of this service. But I want today and over the next number of weeks in the will of the Lord to bring comfort, to bring strength and to bring help. As your pastor, as your minister, as your friend, I want to reach out to you today with God's word. Because it's the word of God that alone will bring comfort to our hearts in these perilous times. And this morning I want us to start off by looking at Psalm 91. As I've said, this psalm I've entitled a psalm for perilous times, because I know there are many who are fearful, many who are anxious, many who are worried. But in these studies, I want us to take great heart from what I believe God would have to say to us in these days that are unprecedented. Now, before I get into this message, I'm going to set us all a challenge, all right? First of all, I'm going to challenge you all today to read Psalm 91 every day. Along with your normal Bible readings, read Psalm 91 as well every day. Will you do that? Good. It'll bless your heart. But I'm going to set you another challenge. And I'm going to challenge you not only to read Psalm 91, I'm going to challenge you, as I've challenged myself, to learn Psalm 91 off by heart. Learn a verse every day. 16 verses, 16 days. And by that, we can store the Word of God up in our hearts. So read it, learn it, and repeat it. And take these days of isolation to learn more of the Word of God. So let's see who's up for this challenge. Read the psalm every day, but also learn the psalm. Take a verse a day and learn this psalm, that even after those 16 days, or however long it takes, that you'd be able to repeat the psalm without even having to look up your Bible. And what a blessing that will be. Now, there's no clear title or author to the psalm, although many would say that if the writer's name is not given in the title, then you can conclude that the writer is the same author as the previous psalm, in which case that would be Moses, because Moses penned Psalm number 90. This psalm really is a psalm expressing confidence and faith in God. You know, it's almost as if the psalmist is speaking to himself. And here he's telling himself, he's reminding himself of what he needs to do. It's obviously a very difficult time in his life, but he's reminding himself what he needs to do in that time of difficulty. It's a call to trust in the Lord. In the midst of all that's going on, it's a call to place total dependence and confidence in Him. You see, what's in view here is the psalmist calmly yet confidently resting in the sovereignty of God. Whatever is happening in his life right now, God has planned some purpose for it, and some good will come out of it. And that's what we've got to believe. That's what we've got to trust. That in all of this that's going on in our world, that good will come out of it. God has planned it so. When we don't understand it, we can't see. The great London preacher, Mr. Spurgeon, talking about the sovereignty of God, he says, when you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. The sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. The coronavirus and the illness COVID-19 that comes as a result of it, and the effects of it nationally and globally, are unparalleled. And I can't tell you, or I can't explain, why schools are closed, why shops and restrooms are shut, why churches are having to close their doors. I can't explain it. Can't explain why so many are sick and unwell with this virus, and many of God's people as well. But in it, there's the hand of God. There's the finger of God. One who's appointed all things. And here, I believe, is a word from God in the midst of all of this in Psalm 91. Because Psalm 91 is a pillow psalm. It's a cushion psalm. It's a psalm that you can rest your head upon. No matter what's going on around. Resting in the plan and the purposes and providences of God. And so as we conclude our service this morning, I just want to leave some thoughts with you just from this opening verse. The secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice the character in this place. He. This is the one who enjoys the safe surrounding and the safe environment. This character, this individual, is a very particular person. It's not a general he. It's not just anybody. As you read through the psalm, you'll see that the psalmist is claiming certain privileges, certain rights that are his. In verse number 2, he claims the protection of God, the refuge of God. And in verse number 3, he claims the refuge of God and the deliverance that God gives and the protection that God gives. In verse number 4, he talks about the tenderness of God. And so in this psalm, you'll see he's claiming a very special relationship. Because this he that is referred to in Psalm 91 is a very particular person. You'll see that he refers to God and he claims God as my God. My fortress. My refuge. You see, here the psalmist claims a relationship, a personal relationship with God as his heavenly Father. And of course that relationship comes about only through redemption. We're all made by God. God is our creator. In that general sense, he is the Father overall, but there's a very particular relationship spoken of here in verse 1. He, that one who is in that covenant bond with God through Christ. One who enjoys all the blessings of God's salvation and his provision. One who's saved. The one whose sins are washed. One who's redeemed. You see, this protection and this happiness, this deliverance that God provides, and we'll go on to look at, is not the common lot of all people. Now we believe in common grace, the goodness of God to all of his creation, the blessing of God in a general sense. But in this psalm here, there's very clearly in view special grace, saving grace. Grace that is bestowed upon those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I wonder today, have you that relationship with God through Christ? I wonder today, are you saved? In the midst of all of this crisis, where do you turn? Where do you get your strength from? May God even use this pandemic to speak to your heart and to bring you to himself in salvation, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. We're facing death day after day. How will you face death? How will you meet God? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Is it well with your soul? Well, I pray that even today you'd come to Christ. You accept him into your heart. You would turn away from your sin and by faith you receive him. That he would save you. And that then you can go on and enjoy this protection and this peace no matter what is happening. But for each one that's saved today, this is a psalm for us. This is a psalm for you. There's not only the character in this place, but there's also the continuing in this place. Verse number 1 talks about dwelleth, or dwelling. It talks about one who sits down, one who stays, one who abides in that safe place, in that secret place. Not going in, not coming out, but just continuing there. It conjures up the idea of experiencing all the blessing and all the satisfaction of a particular place and not wanting to leave that place. I'm sure you've been to many different places in your lifetime, and maybe there's one particular place that has really stood out for you. It's been such a place of beauty, perhaps a place of peace, and you've enjoyed it so much you don't want to leave it. That's very much what the psalmist is speaking here when he says, he that dwelleth, he that stays in that place, he loves being there. He's had the blessed experience of God in the past, and now he's going to claim it again in the present. In the midst of all the storms that's raging around, and the gales that are blowing about, in this place there is security, and there is serenity, and there is safety. And he doesn't want to go anywhere else. I do believe that God, through all that's happening right now across our nation and across our world, God's taken away from his people, from his church, so many things that we think are important. So many things that have stopped us, that have hindered us from dwelling, staying, abiding in the secret place alone with God. God's removing all of those things to remind us today what's really important. that all we need is Him. All we need is Christ. All I have is Christ. What want I more? The problem we think is that we think we need more than Christ. We think we need more than the Lord. But the Lord, I believe, is removing all those other props that we have in our life and reminding us all we need is Him. As you listen to me today, as you watch today, as we go through these next number of weeks and months, difficult though they will be, we need God. We need to stay close to God like never before. Job was a man who had everything. Yet God took everything away from him. His family, his farm, his health. Took it all away to remind Job that all he needed was the Lord. And at the end of his testing, Job was able to come and say, I understood not. He didn't understand why his family were taken away from him. He didn't understand why his health was plagued with illness and sickness. He didn't understand why his whole farm and finances were removed. He didn't understand it. But he was able to come at the end of it all, come through it all and say, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Oh, that we would learn more to dwell close to God. Not just sometimes, but all the time. Because as we do so, all the cares of this world will fade away. And the storms of this life will lose their force and their fierceness. May we realize today that the Lord's all we need. The hymn writer said, things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest, closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast, oh, to lie forever here. Doubt and care and self resign while He whispers in my ear, I am His, He is mine. Dwelling close to God, even in the midst of a crisis. There is the communion as well in this place. The words are very clear in this verse because it speaks very powerfully and plainly of communion with God, of fellowship with God. It speaks of a closeness and a fondness. It speaks of the psalmist being face to face with God. And that place of intimate and immediate fellowship with the Lord. The Lord, you see, is not only His habitation. He is also in communication with the Lord. You see, the more we make God our habitation, the more we dwell close to God, then the more we will want to be and will be in communion with God. If you take your Bible with me, please, and turn back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Turn with me, please, if you will. Exodus chapter 33. And in Exodus chapter 33, we read of the journeys of the children of Israel through the wilderness. We read of Moses taking the tabernacle and put it in a place. We read of Moses entering the tabernacle in that place where God was pleased to dwell. And if you found Exodus chapter 33 in the verse number 9, read it with me, please. Exodus chapter 33 and the verse 9. And it says, it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle. Notice those words. The cloudy pillar descended, that significance of the presence of God, and stood at the door of the temple, and the Lord talked with Moses. As Moses went in to dwell in the presence of God, in that secret place, and in that safe place, God talked with him. Look at verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. As a man speaketh unto his friend. What communion. What fellowship in that sacred place. Alone with God. These days of self-isolation and social distancing may be hard days. But may they be times when we draw closer than ever before to God. May there be times when we hear God speak to us like never before. The secret place is the speaking place. And I trust that already this day, this Lord's Day, that you've spent time in that secret place with God. Don't waste this God-given time. Use it. Draw from it strength that alone God can give. As we already saw through the eagle, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Oh, that today we would spend this time in that secret place, hearing God speak to us. There's also the confinement of this place. It is described back there in Psalm 91. If you turn back with me, please, to Psalm 91 and the verse number 1. It's described as the secret place. It was a place that was confined. Now, it's not secret in that it was hidden, but it was secret in that it was a place of refuge, away from all the cares of the world. In Psalm 83 and the verse 3, if you turn back with me there, please, to Psalm 83 and the verse 3. We read there that they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Speaking about the ungodly, the enemies of the people of God. But is that term, that lovely term in verse 3, the hidden ones, God's hidden ones? We're hiding in Christ. You see, in Psalm 83, God was pouring out his fury, his wrath upon the world. But we who are hidden in Christ, we who are in that confined place, hidden in the palm, sheltered in the hands of God, then that wrath doesn't be poured out upon us. Psalm 31 in the verse 20 speaks about the secret of his presence. It speaks about being alone with God. In Matthew chapter 6 in the verse 6, it talks about when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This secret place with the place of confinement. We'll use the term that is now in everyday vocabulary, it was a place of self-isolation, a place apart from everything else. We're being told quite rightly to protect ourselves, to protect our families, to protect our health service, to protect our elderly, to protect each other, that we must self-isolate and only do that which is necessary. That's advice, folks, that we must all heed. It's for our benefit. It's for our betterment. But here's another place of self-isolation, of confinement, that is for our spiritual good and benefit, away from everything else, that secret place, alone with God. May these days of self-isolation be days when we dwell in that secret place like never before. And finally then, there is the confidence in this place. You see, this place is not so much a place, but rather it's a person. The confidence for the psalmist is not in a particular place, but in a particular person. Folks, I would love for you to gather with us today and worship as you always do here in Sandown, the Lord's Day morning, the Lord's Day evening. But circumstances have dictated otherwise. But we don't need to come to a building to meet with God. In these days of confinement and self-isolation, we can find our refuge in the person. Look how that person is described in verse number 1, the Most High. Another name given in the end of verse 1, the Almighty. What's he doing here? He is considering, he is contemplating the nature of his God. And as he does so, he's at rest, he is at peace. He spends time with God in his presence, in the secret place, time meditating, pondering on the greatness of the God that he serves. He thinks on those glorious titles of God, the Most High. It speaks of his preeminence. one who's above all, one who is supreme, one who's elevated high and far above all, his preeminence. Then Almighty speaks of his power. The one who is all powerful in every situation. And God is still powerful today. He is still preeminent today. There is still nothing too hard for him. He will see us through this time of difficulty. You see, what the psalmist is doing here in a time of crisis is getting his confidence from the character and the nature of the God that he serves. He's dwelling on the character of God. It's something that we will consider on Thursday evenings in our discipleship course. And I trust you'll join with us at 8 o'clock. The study of God. Considering who God is, the Most High. The one who's above all things. The one who's above the coronavirus. The one who's above the circumstances. The one who's above the crisis. You see, the psalmist lifts himself to a place, to a person, where harm cannot affect him. He lifts himself to a place, to a person, where troubles cannot touch him. And as a result, it creates great confidence and calmness in the heart of the psalmist at a time of great difficulty. If we're going to know protection of our minds and our spiritual life in these challenging days, then we need to dwell continually on the character of God. And so he dwells, he remains, he sits, then he abides, he lodges there under the shadow of the Almighty. He abides in the nature and in the name of God. The wise man said in Proverbs 18 and verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and safe. What a blessed place the secret place is. Throughout these incoming days, dwell there. Stay there. Abide there. Stay close to the Lord in all of this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me ask you as we close this morning, is this God your God today? Is he your Savior? Can you claim his protection and his peace? Do you know him today as your Savior? Why not even today in the quietness of your own home? Ask Jesus into your heart to be your Savior. If you want to speak to me at any time, as I've said, you do that. More than happy to speak and go through things with you. But the most important thing is that through all of this, that you might be saved. And for each one that is saved today, dwell. Dwell in the secret place like never before. And as you dwell there, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shadows cannot harm you. Shadows cannot affect you. Because we're sheltered under the wings of Almighty God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. May that be our experience today, tomorrow, and every day. Stay there. Abide there. To dwell there. In that place of great calmness. In that place of great confidence. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for this opportunity to spend time around the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be pleased, Lord, to help us to dwell in that secret place. God, realize there's much concern, much anxiety. But, oh God, we pray you'll help us, Lord, to be close to thee in these days. Lord, that being close to Thee, may we hear Thy voice like never before. May we hear those words of peace speak to our hearts. O God, we thank Thee today that Thou art the Most High. Lord, Thou art high above all of this that's going on. We thank Thee, Lord, as well that Thou art almighty. Not only mighty, but almighty. O God, help us, O God, to dwell, therefore, in the nature of who our God is. Help us to consider Thee. Help us, Lord, to think more and more about the God that we serve. Bless Thy word to all who have listened, to all who have watched today. We ask, O God, today for someone maybe listening, watching, and today they are not saved, and they do not know Christ as their Savior. Lord, we pray, save them today. Turn them to Thyself. May they experience that saving grace which comes alone from Thee. And having done so, that they then may go on to abide in that sacred place. Bless Thy word, O God, we pray. Be with us throughout this day. Bless us, O God, again this evening as we come at 6:30. O God, we pray, prepare our hearts. Help us, Lord, to pray. Continually be much in prayer throughout this day. Bless Thy word. Bless all who have joined with us today. Number our homes and our families. Lord, we pray for Your protection and Your covering to be upon us all. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Let me thank you today for tuning in and being a part of this live webcast. Really appreciate your presence, your support with us this morning. Don't forget, tune in again tonight, 6:30, either sermon audio or on Facebook Live, and we'll bring another word to you tonight. We're going to look at the subject this evening of plenty of food. There's been much talk today about panic buying and shelves being empty of food. We're going to look tonight at the subject of plenty of food. And so we trust you'll join with us again. A few other things that we'll do differently tonight. So join back with us again, 6:30 this evening. In the will of God, keep safe, keep well, keep close to the Lord. And may the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and God be with you all. Amen.